Hermitage of San Sebastian and San Roque, the Saints. The Hermitage of San Sebastian and San Roque, known locally as Los Santos, is dedicated to the co-patrons of the town and constitutes a good example of the hermitages that many towns have built near their town centre to make it possible to celebrate a pilgrimage. San Sebastian and San Roque are often venerated together because both were considered notaries against the plague, a devotion that began in the 17th century. As is usually the case in this type of rural construction, and at this time, midway through the 18th century, the architecture of the hermitage is very simple. A single but very spacious nave set on the north wall forms the entrance of the presbytery. A flat headboard and access door on the south wall, protected by a portico, was added later to alleviate the changing harsh weather. A single section of nave with a gabled roof provides access through a grand arch to the presbytery, which contains the painted plinth, together with a simple lowered plaster vault leading to the main altar, where an altarpiece is framed by a painted curtain, as has a typical trompe-l'oeil of a very advanced Baroque nature. An oculus, a circular window, at the foot and two more on the south wall lend a little light to the interior, whose masonry construction is shown off by the use of a layer of plaster without decoration. Structurally, the altarpiece consists of a bench, a single central body with two paths which separate niches that house carvings of the owners, and a curved attic. The entire perimeter is framed with a decorative border that repeats the motif of an angel's head on a palm supported by rollers. The bench features three leaf corbels with Atlantean angel heads. In between, two boards repeat the little heads from which two symmetrical acanthus leaves that fold into scrolls. The central body is framed by two five-turn Solomonic columns that are extended by an architrave and frieze-like footings to the cornice that separates it from the attic. The columns do not have the typical vine leaf and cluster decorations, but rather have unrecognizable plant elements of flowers and fruits. The niches are framed by a golden decorative border and separated by a simple pillar with a profusion of plant elements attached. The interior is decorated by repeating the plant components already mentioned in acanthus and roleos, a spiral or scroll-like pattern. The spandrels, space between the arches, contain botanic pieces perfectly adapted to the available space, while two large decorative motifs with leaves and flowers have been placed at the apex of these arches. But they are not the same. The artist allowed himself the license to let his imagination run wild by not having two symmetrical blows of foliage and surprising the well-educated faithful. The figures of the saints are carved with very elegant refinement and classicism. The one of San Roque is very graceful and full of movement as it proceeds to this holy walker and pilgrim, accentuated with the rich folding of his garments, and that he himself highlights by raising his tunic to expose the wound that a plague-infected arrow created on his left leg. A native of Toulouse, 1295, he gave up his wealth and went on a pilgrimage to Rome. Along the way, he stopped in several Italian cities to take care of people suffering from the plague, a disease that he himself contracted. Once healed, he returned to Toulouse, where he died. He wears a short green tunic drawn in by a cord, a black cape with a golden scalloped collar and interior, a red cloak over his left arm, leaving his right shoulder uncovered, and a hat decorated with wings and shell. He wears half-round boots and leans on a staff, from which hangs a pumpkin, which serves as a canteen. Next to him, there is a dog, with bread in his mouth. The dog, Malampo, is sitting with his hind quarters hidden under the cloak, in such a way that it is not possible to find out if, as the saying goes, the dog of San Roque does not have a tail, because Ramon Ramirez has cut it off. The figure of the bearded saint is of great elegance and dynamism, counterposed by the positioning of the arms, which are raised towards the sky, with the head slightly cocked. San Sebastian is represented in a much more tense and overwhelmed way, typical of the martyrdom he suffers. His body is carved in a serpentine-like curve, only covered by a modesty cloth, revealing a nude that allows the woodcarver to attempt the study of anatomy. The languid gaze directed at the sky is much more dramatic and exaggerated than that of his companion Roque, because he warns of the supreme moment of the end of life. However, San Sebastian did not die from the arrows, as is often depicted. His martyrdom is represented by the order of Diocletian, who had him beaten and thrown into the Closea Maxima in Rome. From here, he was rescued by Saint Lucia. Sebastian had been head of the Emperor's Legion, and the Emperor, upon discovering that he was a Christian, ordered him to be martyred. The curved attic presents, in its central part, a fairly simple image of Saint Anthony of Padua, with the child Jesus held in one of his arms, alluding to the miracle of the divine visit. It is a carving of mediocre account, whose head shows evident similarities with the heads of the decorative angels scattered over the altarpiece, so it can be presumed that the carver of the altarpiece was also responsible for creating the figure of Saint Anthony, while the saints were completed by a relief sculptor. The saint of Padua is framed in a false niche, surrounded by plant elements. The lateral parts of the attic are decorated symmetrically by two large S shapes, the interior of which are decorated with scales, from which acanthus leaves appear, ending in very pronounced spirals. A pompadour with the same decorative element that adorns the entire altarpiece, but of great development, crowns the entire ensemble. In short, it is a rather exceptional altarpiece for its jewel dedication, which can be dated back to the mid-18th century, for spiritual protection against the plagues, of modest dimensions, but with a rich display of decorative elements, showcasing great imagination and remarkable workmanship, emphasizing the intensity of the color used. Today, somewhat faded by the passage of time, the images of the saints standing out from the group, purest yet full of movement, in which its Baroque style reaches its highest expression.